Thank you to Ned and Rita Schoenfeld and Tim Wright. He was here. I think he's sitting over there. We're sponsoring breakfast this morning. He just moved into town. Feel free to go over to him. And also thank you to Rob and Sue Weinberg for sponsoring breakfast as well. Lilui Nishmas, I think, is his grandmother, Yud Gimel Kislev, Tevez rather, I think, was the Yartzeit. Now, this is a very strange topic, as you would imagine. This is a topic I've been interested in learning for quite some time now. It's an ongoing debate between my wife and I that if I'm in the middle of learning or doing something else and she sneezes and I don't have the nice manners of wishing her a Gesundheit, a God bless you, she gets insulted. And she says, it's Derech Eretz. So it's true, she's right, it's Derech Eretz. But at the same time, it's not an obligation. It's not something I would say you get all excited about. It's a nice thing to say, a God bless you, a Gesundheit. My wife had asked me for a while to learn the sugya and figure out whether one should really go out of their way to say a Gesundheit, a God bless you, or whatever, la briyut, or it's just a nice thing Derech Eretz happens to be. Yesterday, the other day, Parshas Vayechi, the Parshas HaShavua, there's a fascinating discussion on this inyan of sneezing and wishing a person la briyut or Gesundheit related to Yaakov Avinu. Now, one of the other reasons why I like this topic is because I once heard Rabbi Hartman speak in DRS. He was speaking to the high school there. And he was saying he teaches in the high school. He's the principal in the high school in England, right? He says the biggest question he gets all the time from high school kids is, when they learn Gemara, where do they see Hashem in Gemara? You go through blad and blad. Hashem's name isn't mentioned sometimes. Where do you see Hashem? So there's another question which he didn't ask, but I imagine many kids and adults are wondering, where do you see Hashem in the world even? In everything we do. When we daven, we see Hashem. When we learn, we hopefully see Hashem. But outside of that, we don't really see Hashem. We're involved. We're busy doing work. We're busy exercising. We're busy doing whatever we're doing. We're eating and drinking. So what I like to tell people is that the godless of Torah is every single aspect of life, there's halachas related to it, which some people might feel very debilitating and restricting. I find refreshing that everything has meaning in this world. Even a sneeze, even a yawn, has halachic ramifications to it. So that reminds me of the well-known Tosas and Brachos that talks about the Leishei Basukah. Right? The question is, you say Leishei Basukah when you eat breakfast in the morning in the sukkah, and you go out and you come back at night, you say another Leishei Basukah. So why? Because there's a hefsek, a hesek hadas. I went out and I wasn't thinking about sukkah. So Tosas asks, what about Birchas HaTorah? We wake up in the morning, we learn, we say Birchas HaTorah, and we go to work. And then we come back at night and learn again, hopefully, and we don't say another Birchas HaTorah. Wasn't that a big Hesech Hadas? Anyone remember what Tosas answers? Why no Hesech Hadas?
Everything you're doing all day is Torah.
So he doesn't quite say that, the Taz says that. He says, you're always thinking of when you're going to get to learn next. You're waiting for the next time to learn. But what the Taz says is everything you're doing, actually, is a keem of Limud HaTorah. When you're eating and you're saying the right bracha, when you're benching, when you're saying going to the bathroom, there are halachas, saying asher yatzar, when you're even sneezing and breathing, there are halachas related to this. So for me, it's very refreshing that halacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is in every aspect of our life. And we're never alone. So in light of that, let's learn the sugya of, not about how to sneeze, but really how to respond to a sneeze. The halachas of wishing a person a gesundheit, a la briyut, zigazunt, what else do they say? What's your Sephardi version? Salu or something? Libriyut, you say. Libriyut, you say. But I always heard this Israeli say labriyut. Sephardi. Very good. What? Wait, that's French? May I say it again? Atisui. I'm not remembering that. Okay. All right, so let's get to the halacha. So the pasuk says in Parsha Vayechi, number one, Vayhi acher hadvarim ha'ela vayomer liyosef hine avicha chole, your father is sick, they told Yosef. Vayhi kach eshnei vanav imo es menashe v'esefraim. So Yosef took with him his two sons. Vayagei liyakov vayomer hine bincha Yosef, your son Yosef is here. Boy Lach, he's coming to visit you. Vayischazek Yisrael vayeshev al hamita. He got stronger and stood up or sat up in his bed. Parenthetically, there's a Gemara that tells us when a person is mevaker cholim, so he takes away 1/60th of that person's illness. So the Gemara says it's only if the person is the same mazel, they were born in the same month. So ben mazel takes 1/60th of the illness away from the cholim. So the Gra says there's a remez in this parsha, in this pasuk here. Because Yosef and Yaakov were born in the same month, they were the same mazel. So it says the word Vayomer Hinei. Hinei is a gematria 60. Hinei, Hinei Bincha Yosef, or really says for Hinei Avicha Chola, your father's sick. Hinei is gematria 60. So what happens when Yosef walks in? Vayeschazik, he got stronger. Vayeshiv al Hamita, Hamita is gematria 59. So 1/60th of that illness was taken away, says the Gra based on that concept. So we see either way that Yosef, a tzaddik, walked in because Yaakov was getting sick, he was ill. So look what the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says. It's quoted by a number of the Mefarshim here as well. Let's look at it inside. Number two, reading the bold, Haya Otesh Vayisa, what happened in the past when a person would walk through the shuk, Haya Otesh, he would sneeze, Vayisa Nishmasa Yotes Mnichirav, and when he would sneeze, he would die. His neshama would depart from his body with a sneeze. That's what happened. Ad Sheba Yaakov Avinu, Bikesh Al Zos Rachamim, Yaakov asked for from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vamar Lefanav, he says, Ribona Kol Olamim, Al Tikach Es Nafshi Mimeni, please don't take my nefesh away, Ad She'atzav Es Beniv Es Bnei Beisi, until I can command my children and my grandchildren what to do. V'net Halo, he davened to Hashem, Shenemar, Vayhi Achar Zlameela, Vayomar Liyosef Yenei Yivicha Chole. So he got sick. So what happened? Shamu Advarim Kol Malchei Er Haaretz. Everyone heard, it's never in the past that someone sneezed and got sick and lived. When a person sneezes, chaim, you're supposed to say chaim, it should be l'chaim, labriut, or libriut, or gesundheit, something along those lines. That once upon a time, a sneeze meant death. From Yaakov Avinu, from that point on, it meant you might be sick. But then we say l'chaim just to thank HaKadosh Baruch. So this is the concept. This is the source of this. Say it again? Sure. So no, nowadays, I'm not sure what a sneeze means medically. It means that you're struggling to some mucus maybe there. I don't know. Cause I don't know how it's caused, the different ways cause it. But it indicates something of... I don't know. I don't know enough about the history or the medical aspect, but... Either way, we say Gesundheit, this is the source of wishing a person libriut. Tosefta, however, argues. Tosefta says, Ha'omer mirape or marpe hareze midarche ha'emori. Interesting, right? To say that is actually chukas akum. So that's quite a contrast to what the Pirkei Avot, some type of Avodah Zarah, or some type of, I'm not sure why it is, but that's a Tosefta. What? Yeah, I didn't bring the beginning. The beginning was talking about sneezing. It was. I cut off the beginning part of it. It was talking about sneezing.
We're doing it with the kaparos.
Could be that. So I'm not sure why. But the Shulchan Aruch says, and not quite on this point though, but the Shulchan Aruch talks about hanichnas lahakitz dam, a person goes in for bloodletting, for a refuah. Omer yihiratzom lefanecha Hashem Elokei akai sheyehei eisek zeh li'i refuah. You daven that should be refuah. Ki rofei chinam ata. You say Rofei Cholom. So they point to this as some source of rejecting the Tosefta, and that there is a concept of wishing a person, or even for yourself, that we'll get to whether to thank you. Are you giving a Hodah? You're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Refuah? Or someone else is wishing you should be healthy? But it's indicated from the Shulchan Aruch there is a concept of saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for the Refuah. So the Magen Avraham brings down... Yes. I'm not sure. I don't know. I didn't see anyone really discuss this. They don't explain. There's no... It's not brought in the Gemara, no Mefarshim. I don't know what's behind it at all. I really don't. Now, look at number five, the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham brings down an interesting practice that we don't do nowadays, and we'll see why in just a moment. But he brought down a practice. Misha misatesh v'chavero amar lo asusa yomer lo baruch tia. A person sneezes, your friend says asusa, he says to you, labriut. You're supposed to say, thank you, or baruch tia, you should be blessed. You give him a bracha from the pasuk of last week's parsha. So you daven that I sneezed. He wished me a gesundheit. So I say, you should be bracha baruch tia. So by me giving him a bracha, so that's going to in turn help me receive the bracha. That's the dialogue going on, suggests the Magen Avraham. Have you ever heard anyone say lishuascha kvisi Hashem in the context of a sneeze? Never heard that before. So look what the Pirkei Tshuvos brings down. Pirkei Tshuvos writes, "V'hashta lo nagu lomar lishuascha kvisi Hashem ba'askar shem shemayim." So that sounds like you should say lishuascha kvisi Hashem, like I just said it. But why don't you say shem Hashem? So he quotes the first opinion of the Kaf HaChaim, Shema Yazkir Shem Shemayim V'Asuk Bat Yishu. The Yitusha. Let's say, when I sneeze, so if I say to you, Baruch Tiyah, you say Gesundheit, I say, Baruch Tiyah, L'Yishuascha Kvisi, I'm saying Hashem, in the middle of my Hashem, I end up sneezing, that's a Bizayon of Shem Hashem. So in order to, we don't know how, I had a guy growing up in elementary school, and the guy would sneeze, he would go on for, I'm kidding you not, 25 sneezes in a row. He was asked to leave. Whenever he sneezed, you need to leave the classroom to finish your sneezing because we couldn't get anything done. So you never know when you're going to stop the sneezing. In fact, 3 weeks ago, I lost my voice because I was sneezing. Motzei Shabbos, I don't know what got to me, I sneezed 15 times in a row and I lost my voice from it. So you never know when your sneezing is going to stop or not. So therefore, the suggestion is don't use Shem Hashem lest you sneeze while saying Yud Kei Vav Kei. Then the Piskei Tshuva says another reason why we don't say Shem Hashem is based on the Chassam Sofer, because if you're accustomed to saying it, you might end up saying it in the Beis HaKisei. Yeah. Correct.
Sneezing, am I saying to you, Gesundheit, and you say Lishuascha Kvisi Hashem?
Correct. Yeah, exactly. It's I'm the one sneezing, so I might sneeze a second time while I'm saying Lishuascha Kvisi Hashem. So the reason why the Chassam Sofer says not to get in this habit of saying Lishuascha Kvisi Hashem with Shem Hashem, if you're in the bathroom, which itself is a whole other discussion, you hear the guy in the stall next to you, he sneezes, so you wish him a Gesundheit, so then you say Baruch Tia, you don't want to say Lishuascha Kvisi Hashem in the bathroom. But of course, there are other problems. You really shouldn't be speaking at all or giving brachas in the bathroom. Certainly, when you're using the bathroom, that's one should not talk.
Isn't it amazing that he says, "Don't say Lishu Aschik Kvisi Hashem," because you might say it in the bathroom.
Right.
We say Shem Hashem all over the place. We say Baruch Hashem when somebody asks you how you're doing. We don't say that in the base medrash because you might say it in the bathroom.
No, it's true. But I imagine people who say Gesundheit, it's more habitual. You hear someone sneeze and you just naturally say, Gesundheit. So you might get it in the practice of saying in response to the Shu Aschach Kvisi Hashem. It sounds far-fetched. I agree. Lamaisa. Right.
You're not worried about him saying Baruch Hashem.
Right.
But he sneezes and makes
me take a shot. I don't have a real answer, but you say Baruch Hashem, you don't say with the
Shema. You don't say
Shem
Hashem when you say it.
Lamaisa, I've never heard anyone say Lishuascha Kvisi Hashem, this back and forth. So I haven't seen anyone explain why not, but the practice I think is simply just to say Gesundheit and you say thank you, or Baruch Tia is a thank you. Unless in the French, Le Briot, you say it in among the French? No. The Svartim? Okay. I think it's just a short bracha you could say. The Brisker Rav used to say before he would meet someone, he'd be very nervous the advice he would be giving. Brisker Rav in general was a very, very nervous person. Even though he's an Eloi, he wouldn't pass Kinshilas because he was always scared he may make a mistake. So whenever someone went to seek advice from him, he would whisper to himself, Lishuascha Kvisi Hashem. It's a short bracha you could say. It's a powerful bracha, and you could easily remember. That's my guess as to why. There could be a stronger connection, but I don't know.
The connection is so he should have Hashem helping him making the tshuva.
Making a tshuva, exactly, yeah.
So that bracha comes right after the parasha where Yaakov sneezed.
It could be. Yeah, there are a lot of brachas, though, also.
Yeah.
So that's my guess, but I don't know for sure.
What's the question?
Why Lishuascha Kvisi Hashem is dafka the bracha used as opposed to something else? It's a very simple bracha. It's you should have a yeshua.
So now that you gave him a bracha,
now you're
waiting for an impending refuah.
I'm waiting for the yeshua, right?
Right, so it's a.
You get a bracha to
yeshua,
now you're davening for yourself.
But the yeshua like pisa Hashem is I'm waiting for your yeshua.
The truth is, each one gave each other a bracha, right?
So Baruch Tia would be sufficient.
Baruch Tia is the offering of the bracha.
Right.
The emuna, that's not that bracha, that's the emuna that's...
Right.
Okay, we give bracha, so now Yeshua is going to be any moment.
Okay.
Let's go weiter.
The halacha now says in Shulchan Aruch, let's say a person sneezes during the suda, during a meal. So this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, Simin Kuf Ayin, number 7. Ein masichin besuda, the person is not allowed to speak while eating. Shema yaktim karnilaveshet. It's dangerous.
Right.
It's very it is dangerous. But
this is a female halacha.
And this is a halacha brought down for everyone. So while actually chewing with food in the mouth, so a person is not supposed to be talking at all. Vafilu mishenis atesh, let's say a person, I don't know the French, you might be able to help me with this one, he just walked out, perish shertarn something, that's the French of this. So if you sneeze, besuda, usur lo mar lo asusa. So it's usur to say asusa while you're busy eating. Ah, the guy sneezed, your wife's going to get insulted, you didn't wish her a gesundheit. I said, the halacha tells me when you're finished swallowing, the halacha says I can't say gesundheit while I'm actually chewing. But the Mishnah Berurah writes, that's only true dafka bishas achila while you're actually eating, umishum sakana uktilakame, like it's dangerous. Avabain tafshil tafshil mutter, but in between meals, in between bites, so then one certainly is allowed to. He writes a lashon of mutter, he doesn't say chayiv, he says mutter, one's allowed to say a gesundheit if someone sneezes. So now this is the interesting halacha in the base medrash. What about during a shir? Someone sneezes during the shir now. Are you allowed to, can I stop now and say gesundheit? Could you stop and say gesundheit during someone else's shir? What's the halacha? So the Shulchan Aruch writes in number 9, Ein masifim bebeis ha-medrash ela bedivrei Torah. You could only speak divrei Torah in the beis medrash. Afilu misha nis'atesh. Even if a person sneezes, Ein omrim la-refua bebeis medrash. We don't say refua in the beis medrash. Okay. So let's look at the source of this. It's a Gemara in Brachos Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan. Hayu yoshvin bebeis ha-medrash. People are sitting and learning v'heviu or lefneim, and they bring a or. Why are they bringing a candle to people in the beis medrash? Matzah Shabbos. So I mentioned this, I think yesterday I mentioned this, that in Moresh HaKolel. I've got great memories of Moresh HaKolel. I spent 2.5 summers there, and it was the most intense place I've ever been to. It's really secluded from everywhere else, but for me personally, I have friends who've actually had nervous breakdowns from going there. For me, and I'm certain, I kid you not. But for me personally, it was a great experience. It was, for me, I find the biggest jump of my learning for those 2 summers, from before and afterwards. But at the same time, I needed a big outlet. So every single or every other Shabbos, I'd go to my good friend in Vacation Village. He had one of those houses in the estates. And on Shabbos, okay. So I went to the to one of these nice big houses in Vacation Village, and I just vegged out the entire Shabbos for 25 hours. Didn't learn a thing. You need those breaks. Oh, Erev Shabbos, I spoke about. Right. Yeah, I was actually talking yesterday. I went to Darchim. My son had a sukkah, one of the sukkah presentations. He built a sukkah, agave sukkah. These sukkah models, I was talking to another rabbi from a different shul, and not in Woodmere, but a different shul in the area. I was asking him, you know, he asked how it's going here, and Weinberger's away. I said, it's nice, it's very, very busy. But I could really use it just like a day to get away. It's just like a nice spa, a nice sauna. He says, we need to have like a rabbi's like chill day, like just to get away and just like hang out at the spa and the sauna, and like a day like that. So the mikvah, okay. Clothing on. And... so anyway, so it's important to have these breaks. So in Moresh HaKolel, they had this practice which was very, very intense. I did mention this Erev Shabbos, but to Shabbos, exactly. We daven Maariv, and then my first Shabbos there is waiting for Havdalah, clapping the bima, Havdalah in 55 minutes. So what? So you're now locked in the Beis Medrash, learning another hour after a full day of learning the Beis Medrash. So that would be the case. They're learning the Beis Medrash, and someone brought a candle, now it's time for Havdalah, so now they have to make Borei Merah Ha'esh. So how would they bring the candle around in the Beis Medrash? So the Gemara says, Beis Shammai Omrim, Kol Echad V'Echad Mivarech La'atzmo. Each person takes the candle, says the bracha, and passes it to the guy next to him, and the guy next to him makes their individual bracha. Beis Hillel Omrim, Echad Mivarech L'Kulam. One guy says a bracha for everyone, they stop the learning, and you say one bracha, Borei Merah Ha'esh, for the entire Tzibor. What's the reason? Mishim Berov Am Hajas Melech. We like to do mitzvahs as large groups. Just like Megillas Esther, we like to have everyone come to shul together, one minyan, Berov Am Hajas Melech.
Maybe they were worried that one of the guys was going to sneeze on the candle and blow it out while he was being passed around.
Bishlam Beis Hillel Mefarish Taima. I understand Beis Hillel's reasoning, because Berov Am Hajas Melech, that's why we have one bracha for everyone. Ela Beis Shammai Mai Taima. Why did he want to have a bracha for each guy to pass it on? That doesn't make any sense. I say my own bracha, you say your own bracha. Says the Gemara, Mipunei Bitu Beis Medrash. Bitu Beis Medrash. They don't want there to be complete silence in the Beis Medrash. So this way, if I make my bracha, you're still learning, that guy's still learning, we don't interrupt everyone at the same time. Now, Lamaisa, though, the same amount of time, if you add everything together, it's the same amount of time that's lost. It takes, let's say, 10 seconds to say bracha, so everyone stops for 10 seconds to say bracha, as opposed to my 10 seconds, your 10 seconds, your 10 seconds. It all adds up to 10 seconds times 100 people. So what are you really gaining by that? So I think the idea, again, as a side point here, There's a Nefesh HaChaim which explains Rav Chaim Mivilajan why we have such a concept as time zones. Why do we have to have time zones? Why did Kosh Baruch Hu make it this way? Because if we all had the same time zone, we all went to sleep at the same time, at 11 o'clock at night, let's say, and no one's learning, then the world will be destroyed. The world cannot exist without there being learning. So this way, when Eretz Yisrael is sleeping, we're up learning. And when we're sleeping, like China, they're up. Whatever it goes, there's always someone learning somewhere in the world to keep the world in existence. So to have a base medrash where it's completely batel, that's the bittel of the base medrash. So we'd rather have one guy interrupt while the other 99 guys are learning, one guy interrupt, the other 99 guys are learning. That's the concept. So now, in light of that, the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hochi, the Brisa says a similar idea, shall base Rabban Gamliel, lo hayu omrim mirape or marpe be base medrash, mipnei bittel base medrash. If they were learning, you heard a guy sneeze, you don't stop to say gesundheit, you just continue going. Ah, the guy wants a bracha, the guy wants a little derech eretz. The law is you do not interrupt the base medrash learning, you don't interrupt the shir in order to wish a person a labriya. So the Sefer Ma'aril brings an interesting explanation why not, a different reason why we wouldn't wish a person a refuah in the base medrash, and that's what number 11 writes, Hevanti b'Ma'aril b'yoshvanu lefanav l'lmod. When the Ma'aril was learning with us in the Schabura, the Sefer says, if he sneezed, some of the guys wish their Rebbe a gezuntheit, a susa. He didn't say baruch tia, he didn't say liyushuascha kvisi Hashem, he just ignored it. If he heard other bachrim that were sneezing, he wouldn't wish them a gezuntheit. Why? Taima de divrei Torah merapim. Torah itself is a refuah. You don't need my bracha. If we're learning a base medrash and you sneezed, which might indicate some bacteria, some virus you have or something, my bracha is nothing up against the Torah that you're learning. So it's unnecessary for me to take a break from my learning. The Torah that you're learning itself is going to bring you a refuah. Either way, we see from two different reasons as to why one should not interrupt their learning or a shir to wish a person a good Zentai.
Well, base medrash means, as you explained, because it interrupts all of the learning, so it might have a different impact when you're talking about a chabur that's learning, and then someone sees and everyone stops, as opposed to, you know, an individual is learning.
I mean, of course.
Is it bittel Torah or is it bittel Beis HaMedrash?
Right. So according to the Ma'aril, he would say that you should never have to interrupt because the Torah itself is refuah. But according to the Gemara, it's bittel Beis HaMedrash.
So when you sneeze, your wife doesn't have to say. But when she sneezes, she's not learning.
Right, right. Exactly, right. Right. But I hear, within the world of the Gemara, where it's bittel Beis Medrash, the question is, could you have a concept of bittel Torah, even though the rest of the Beis Medrash is still learning? If that chabur in the corner, if one guy sneezes, is that a bittel Beis Medrash, like a miniature Beis Medrash going on? Or you can interrupt, because the rest of the Beis Medrash is still learning? It's a good question, I don't know.
That's how loud he sneezes. Yeah.
So now let's look at the Shach. The Shach says, quotes in number 12 from the Prisha. He says the last line of Al Achshav nowadays, the Belav Hachi Ein Nizharin Omrim Refuah. Nowadays we're not so careful. We're not careful with what? We all talk in the base medrash. We all, who here, when they learn the Chavrusa, you know, learn all 60 minutes of that hour? There's always going to be some level of bittel. Even in the Shir, there's always, even in this Shir, there are jokes, there's talking back and forth. It's not always Kulo Torah. So in light of this, says the Shach, since we make interruptions anyways during our learning, it would be appropriate to say gesundheit to someone who does sneeze. So I remember in YU, someone told me that in Rav Hirsch's shir, I was not in the shir, but Rav David Hirsch, if a person would sneeze during the shir, he would stop the shir. He wouldn't like stop, but he would just wish the guy a gesundheit, even though he was in the course of a discussion. He'd stop just like that in light of this halacha of the Shach, that nowadays there's plenty of sichas chulim going on in a shir, in a base medrash, so one should stop in order to wish a person a gezuntheit. Now the Taz does not like this at all. The Taz in number 13, let's read this together, this paragraph. He quotes the Prisha, go two lines down in the Taz. Ad kan l'shono, halfway through the line, it says, v'lo haya lo lichtov davar zeh. He should not have written this. He did not like the Prisha and the Shach's understanding. Levados kula milibo, to present a kula of saying a refuah during learning. The afti matzinu borachaim simenayim, we have a similar concept, svarzu. Linin chasen shakora kriyashma, the chasen the night of his wedding, the lach is, he's not supposed to say shema because he can't have kavanah on the shema, so he shouldn't say shema. But nowadays, achshav, we say that chassan should say Shema. Kevan, shagam sharbni adam einam mechabnim. No one nowadays has kavana when they're saying Shema. He's no different than a chassan the night of his marriage. Hainu. Mishum shenimshach mizeh davar tov. What comes out of all this? A wonderful thing. Sheikara kriyashma. The chazan get to say Shema. That's a wonderful thing. Ah, he has no kavana. Who has kavana when they say Shema? So that's why we say nowadays we could change things around because different circumstances. But that's a good reason to say Shema. Masha'enkin kan. The halachas of wishing a person refuah for sneezing. Sheyimshach mizeh davar meguna. Something terrible is going to result. Shashomeya, person who hears the halacha that you could interrupt to say refuah during a shir. Savar, miduhutcha achshav loma refuah. Once you're allowed to say refuah, hutcha haratsu v'yasiya gamkin tzicha batela. That means everything's a fair game. I could talk about the Yankees during the shir, during the base medrash. I could talk about the Knicks. I could talk about whatever I want to talk about. And that's going to be terrible. The kvar anu muzharim, we already have been warned, the onesh gachale resamim chas v'sham, the ones who speak in shul or base medrash are going to be punished with hot coals on their tongue. No cringing here, guys. So the Taz was not very much in favor of interrupting the base medrash to wish a person a refuah. It had to be paskin. So I told you the story of Hirsch. He would interrupt the shir to wish a person a gezuntai. In general, the practice is to usually follow the shach over the Taz. That's the practice. Now, there's a very interesting background as to why. The Shach was very, very young. He was in his 20s, I believe, when he wrote the Shach, which is amazing to be at that age when he wrote the Shach. And the Taz, who was alive at the time, was much, much older and wrote the Taz, this amazing parish in the Shulchan Aruch. So Taz was a little bit insulted. Listen, he's human. He was a bit insulted that a guy much younger than him, 26 years old, the Shach, wrote a parish going against him. And so the Gra, I heard, I think from Rav Shechta, said from the Gra, since the Taz was a little bit insulted, and again, I'm not saying this, but you understand the point, the certain level of lack of humility, again, don't take this the wrong way, but that anivus that wasn't there as much as that could have been caused that the way the Hashkach would be that we pass him like the Shach over the Taz. Now, it's really a Gemara, not about the Taz and Shach, but the Gemara says...
In general.
There are obviously exceptions, like anything else. But overall, Shach, I think Rav Soloveitchik, when he gave Shir Yardea, he'd only learn the Shach. Taz also is a lot longer sometimes. You find interesting that Taz often quotes his father-in-law and argues on him almost every single time, which itself is very, very interesting. But for the most part, we pass him like the Shach in many, many cases. Now, we find this concept in the Gemara as well. The Gemara in Erevin wants to know, why do we pass like Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai? And the Gemara says in a few different ways, because Beis Hillel was a tremendous, they were anavim. They were all anavim. Hillel himself was a tremendous anav, as we know all the stories. And it's really the anivus that really results in the proper horah, the proper psak. That's why Har Sinai was on the lowest of mountains. That's why Ein Torah, Ein Maim Ela Torah. Just like Maim only goes down to the lowest places, so to Torah could only be in those who are very low and humble. So that's the basic idea. So again, I don't know. I didn't ask anyone how we really paskin, but from the Meiser of David Hirsch and from the general idea of the Shach, I would imagine if one would sneeze in the base medrash, we should wish a person a gesundheit, a libriut, labriut, whatever you want to say. Now, what about the shul? So the shul is pretty much the same as the base medrash, but there is a machlokas, a general point. The Prima Gadim writes in number 14 that if it's aser to interrupt in the base medrash, so then certainly he thinks it's usher to interrupt shul while davening. Now, of course, it's not talking about during Shema or Shmon Esrei. Wherever you cannot interrupt and say Amen, or certainly you shouldn't be able to say a refuah to someone. We're talking about in the shul, when it's a place where you are allowed to make interruptions, the Prima Gadim felt that you should not say it in shul. You're wearing tefillin on, a guy sneezes, you don't find anyone saying gesundheit. I have not seen that. The guy gets an aliyah, you're allowed to talk, bein gavra le gavra. The guy sneezes, you don't really see a person saying, this morning someone sneezed actually, it's pretty funny. He sneezed during laning, no one wished him a gesundheit. That's the practice, you don't really interrupt in shul that way. Eli Rabba argues and says that no, the kedusha of the base medrash is stronger than the kedusha of the base knesses. So though although you are allowed to, rather, even though you're not supposed to interrupt the shir in the base medrash, you can say a gesundheit in the shul. Let's move down now to number 16. Who should be saying...
Yeah. Was halting like a Taz, but was more make all the sense.
Correct. Now, who is the one who should be saying gesundheit? Now, we all imagine the one who hears. But Look what the Chetzkuni says. The Chetzkuni in Parshas Vayechi number 16 says, Lefika chayv adam bishas itusho. During his sneeze, he should lahodos lahakadosh baruch hu. He should be saying gezuntai to myself. Say gezuntai. You sneeze, you say gezuntai. You say labriot to yourself. As opposed to all the other sources, the Otsa Plias HaTorah is a beautiful favor for those who don't have it. Otsa Plias HaTorah, it's on Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, has amazing, amazing midrashim and always tries to bring out really strange shitas that are out there. He talks about one example that comes to mind. There's a Rav Yonason Eibshitz on Parshas Bereishis. Parshas Bereishis. He talks about a spaceship. And this is hundreds of years before spaceships existed, but a concept of some vehicle that would go up to Shemayim. So those are types of midrashim or shitas he tries to pull out. So he has a whole discussion on the Parsha about sneezing. So he brings many midrashim that say what our practice is, that the people who hear the sneeze wish a gezuntai to the one who sneezes. As opposed to the Chezkuni says that the one who sneezes should be saying gezuntai to himself.
But you're alone.
You're alone, so you don't get the bracha. So in the end of the day, what the Otsa Plias HaTorah explains is it seems to be a machlokas to the nature of what is a gezuntai, what's a labriot. Is it a bracha? Is it a bakasha? You're giving a guy a tefillah? Or is it a hodah, thanking the Kaddish Baruch Hu for not dying? Remember, we started the whole conversation that Yaakov Avinu was the first person to sneeze and live. So, according to the Cheskuni, he says, Chayv Adam b'shas itusha lahodos l'kadosh baruch hu. Every time you sneeze, you have to be thankful that you are alive. So you say it to yourself, thanking the Kaddish Baruch Hu. According to the others, it's a bakash, it's a tefillah, that I see you sneezed, I don't want you to get sick, you should have a bracha, you should live. So according to them, it's really a bakasha, so other people give you, but you don't ask, but you can ask a bakasha for yourself. But the understanding is other people give you a bakasha, and you give yourself a Kaddish Baruch Hu, you make a hodah to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Now let's get to the final point here. Is there an obligation to say a gezuntai, or is it simply derech eretz? So number 18, there's a Rashi that the Torah Tumimah points out, the Rashi in that sugya nun gimel, brachos nun gimel, where we spoke about saying a refu in the base medrash, because of bitul base medrash. Rashi says, Shiragilin lomar asusa. They were ragya. Ragya means they were accustomed to saying so, but not that they had to say it. Ragilim. So the Torah Tumimah says, this was a minhag ba'alma to wish a person a gezuntai, but it wasn't an obligation. But there are other shitas, like we saw the Chizkuni and Midrashim, that says there's a chiv, there's an obligation. Your chayiv, lomar, person must say elabriut to someone else. So Lamaisa, at the end of the day, the Torah Tumimah writes that he thinks there are really two dinim here. If you look at the last few lines of the Torah Tumimah, here, Tzarech lomar, dila adam atzma hu chayiv, the person himself has to say, for himself, he has to give a hodah to Hashem. He's chayv to say something. We don't have this practice. But liachem, the others, should say something also, because minag mosay v'derech eretz. It's derech eretz for someone else to say, to wish someone else a gezuntai de labriot. That's lemaisa, what the Torah Tumimah says. So we see from all this, it might be a chiv, but more likely it's a derech eretz to wish a person a labriot. So going back to what I started with. My wife and I, we had this conversation. What should we be doing? So Moshe Harry knew right away. Shalom Bayis, Derech Eretz. So he knows this quite well. So Derech Eretz, Kadma LaTorah. Shalom Bayis, Kadma LaTorah. We don't have that. But of course, you should listen to your wife and you should wish her a gezuntai. My grandfather, he lived to 93. So at his 90th birthday, I asked him the question that the Gemara always asks the older people. B'ma arachta yamim? What were you zoch to have such a long life? So he told me two things. One thing is, he said he took his vitamins every single day. Okay, fine. The other thing he says, he always listened to his wife. Kol asher timur alava tishma b'kola, that Avram was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything your wife Sarah tells you, you listen to her. Since my wife said I should say gezuntai to her, derech eretz kamin l'torah, shalom bayis. For that reason, it's davar pashut, you should certainly wish anyone, if certainly your wife, a gezuntai. Okay, we'll stop here.